All right, I want to welcome everybody to the Master's class here at Soma Church. And we are in a study of the life of David. And as I said, this will be our last lesson on David. But we're going to start up on Proverbs next week. And we're going to be there for a good long time, I think. It could be only a week, you know, the way I do studies. I never know what I'm going to teach one week to the next. So, but if I look at the material that I have for Proverbs, I've got plenty to go through. So I have no doubt that it's going to last a while. But we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And we're going to be talking about, are you a lost church member? Are you a lost church member? And I don't mean that you don't know how to get to church. I mean, are you saved as a church member, right? So now, let me ask you a question. How particular is the devil in how he gets someone to go to hell? Whatever works, huh? Yeah, he's not very particular at all, is he? In fact, I would say he would just as soon send you to hell from the church pew as he had from the gutter. And to be quite honest, I really think that it gives him a sense of satisfaction if he can deceive someone into believing that they're going to heaven because they're a member of a church. And just because they have their name on the church roll, they're going to go to heaven. Now, don't you think that'd give him some satisfaction at deceiving people like that? I do. Let me tell you something really important, and I don't always tell you the punchline of a lesson right at the very beginning, but I'm going to tell you the punchline and the key message of this lesson here today. There are a great number of people who identify themselves as Christians, and they have their name on the church roll, yet they do not have their names written down in glory. They do not have their names written down in glory. They have never been born again. I'm going to say that again. They have never been born again. Paul describes them as having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And he also tells us something interesting. He says to turn away from them. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, why would Paul tell us to turn away from them? It is because they are a tool that Satan uses to deceive others. The combination of having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, means they look like a Christian. They walk like a Christian. They even speak like a Christian, but they're not a Christian. They are lost, never having been saved. So our lesson today is about a man who had the form of godliness, but he denied the power thereof, and his name was Joab. Joab. And I don't even normally read most of the story here at the beginning of the lesson. I normally take them a verse at a time. But I'm going to read all six verses of 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 here to give you the story that we're going to be talking about today. It says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, then there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, And what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoarhead go down to the grave in peace. All right, so Keith, you led in with a big statement, right? That there are a lot of church members who are lost. So what in the world could this passage have to do with lost church members, right? What could this passage have to do? Well, this is the story of Joab. And Joab, I believe, was the Judas of the Old Testament. And I want you to see the heart of this man, Joab, who was a follower of David. And you'll recall that we have said that David is a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, sometimes in prophecy, Jesus is called David. And David was of the house and lineage of Judah. And so is the Lord Jesus. David was God's anointed. Well, so is the Lord Jesus. David was rejected of his brethren, and so was the Lord Jesus. David was enthroned king over Israel, and so shall the Lord be. And David had a friend, a follower, whose name was Joab. Now, the sad thing about Joab is this, that Joab spent all of his life serving David. Yet Joab never loved David. And at the end, he faced only the wrath of David. Now, you're going to also recall that we said the same thing about Judas in our study of the book of John. We completed the book of John here about 6 months ago, and we said the same thing about Judas. Judas was a follower of the Lord Jesus. Judas served the Lord Jesus during the whole time of the Lord's public ministry. Yet Judas never loved the Lord Jesus. And at the end, he's only going to face the wrath of our Lord Jesus. So Joab, in my mind, is the Old Testament version of the New Testament Judas. So let me begin by telling you that Joab was a truly remarkable man, a very formidable man. And Joab would have gone to the top of any profession that he chose in his life. So as a matter of fact, the way that Joab got his job as being the commander-in-chief of David's armies was because of his outstanding courage, his outstanding leadership, and his outstanding loyalty. So Joab rose to the top when the Israelites faced a Jebusite fortress. And the Jebusite fortress was standing in the way of the people of God and the promises of God. Now, this fortress was so strong that the Jebusites would stand on the wall of this fortress and hurl insults down at the people below. They were shouting and claiming that even the lame and the blind could defend this fortress. It was so impenetrable that even the blind and the lame could do it, right? So David said that the man who took the Jebusite fortress would be his right-hand man. He would be his general and his commander-in-chief. And Joab was the man that took that fortress. And then he spent all of his life following David, only to receive the wrath of David at the end of the entire thing. And you might say, well, Brother Keith, you know, that just sounds like a sad story. There's nothing could be sadder than Joab spending his whole life following David just to end up with the wrath of David at the very end. And I agree. Unless it is this one thing. A person who spends all of their life in church following Jesus and serving Jesus to come to the end of their life and face the wrath of Jesus and be banished into a devil's hell. And you might ask, well, Brother Keith, is even such a thing even possible? Can that happen? Can people serve the Lord Jesus and follow Jesus and still end up going to hell? Matthew 7, 22, 23, Jesus tells us that it most certainly is. It says many. Now notice that word many. Jesus says many, not just a few, but many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So Jesus is telling us that there are many people who are just like Joab. They're going to spend all of their lives serving and following the Lord Jesus, yet in the end, they will face the wrath of the Lord Jesus. And I would say that is indeed a very sad situation. Jesus is telling us that you can be a church member and be lost. You can be a leader in the church and be lost. You can say all the right words. You can sing with a wonderful voice, make all the right moves, and still be lost. Still be lost. You know, if I'd been around during the time that Judas was alive, and I were able to go up to Judas and ask him, Judas, are you a Christian? And he'd say, sure, I'm a church member. Judas, I didn't ask you that. Judas, have you been saved? Listen, I am a charter member of the church. I helped found the church. Judas, I didn't ask you that. Do you know Jesus? Man, why are you asking me all of that? Don't you know that I'm the treasurer of this group? Judas, tell me, are you born again? Now, if Judas were honest, he would have had to have said no. You know, I heard the story of a young man in a church meeting. Now, he had recently been saved, and he didn't know a whole lot about church. But he knew about the fact that he ought to witness to others. And he was sitting there during a revival meeting, and he turned to a man next to him who looked very serious and very somber, and he said, sir, are you saved? Well, this man looks at him and says, young man, I'm an ordained deacon. And this young man looked at him and he said, man, it doesn't matter what you've done. God will still save you. Yeah, you can be an ordained deacon, but God can still save you. All right? Listen, you can be a leader in the church, you can be a preacher, you can be a Sunday school teacher, and still be lost. Judas was a preacher. Judas was one of the 12 apostles, and he was the treasurer. And yet right now, I'm here to tell you, Judas is in hell. There's no doubt in my mind, there is a special place that Judas is burning in hell. Now, I want you to listen to me real carefully because this is important. There are a lot of people who believe that people like Judas could be saved and then lose their salvation. Let me tell you, that's not true. Judas never lost his salvation because he never had it. Now, how do I know that? Because Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 70 through 71, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And in John 6, 64, it says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. So now this is why I believe the story of Joab in the Old Testament is really just another illustration of how people can be loyal but lost. Loyal but lost. How they can be church members and have their name on the church roll yet not have their name on the Lamb's Book of Life. Now the first thing I want you to notice about this man named Joab is what I want to call Joab's outward loyalty and outward respect for David. When you look at Joab, if he had one thing that would characterize his name and his life, it would be the word loyalty. Joab was loyal to David. It didn't matter whether it was dangerous or whether it was desirable. You were going to find Joab always standing up for David and fighting for David. But did he really love David? Well, let's examine the facts, and I want you to see what kind of loyalty that Joab had for David. Now, the very first thing I want you to notice about Joab's outward loyalty is he had what was called a, or what I would call, a family loyalty. A family loyalty. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war and peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet." Now, here David is speaking to Solomon, and he's charging Solomon, because Solomon's getting ready to become the next king, right? And I want you to notice how David described Joab to Solomon. He said, "Joab, the son of Zeruiah." Okay, well now, who was Zeruiah? She was David's sister, which meant that Joab was David's nephew. Joab was David's nephew. Now, Zeruiah knew all about David because she was there that day when David was anointed king. And you remember that Samuel came to the house of Jesse to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the king over Israel. And Jesse paraded all of his big, fine, strapping, handsome, broad-shouldered boys right on past Samuel. And Samuel, that old prophet, with the anointing and the wisdom of God upon him, looked over every one of those boys with a keen eye of spirituality that he had, and one by one, he rejects every one of those boys that paraded in front of him. Now, Samuel knew that one of Jesse's sons was to be the king of Israel. And he also knew that that son was not among the group that Jesse had provided. And so Samuel asked, "Is there not someone else?" And Jesse replied, "Oh, yeah, well, there's David. He's out tending the sheep." And Samuel said, "Send for him." So Zeruiah was there when a servant ran off into the hills to find David and bring him back. And I can just imagine, because she was just a little girl, that she would be just peeking out from behind the curtain to see all of this taking place. Now she saw young David come, and she saw the prophet of God look at David and said, "Oh yes, now he is the one." And she saw that holy oil that was poured out upon David as David became the Lord's anointed. He was the one chosen of God to be the king, and Zeruiah knew it. She was there that day. And so from that time on, Zeruiah knew David was a man of destiny. And from the time her son was born, that son whose name was Joab, she was telling Joab all about King David. And she would tell him, "Joab, you need to give your heart to David. Joab, you need to live for David. Joab, David is God's anointed king. Joab, you listen to me. Son, the future is with David." And from the time that Joab was a little boy, he had learned about David. He had what I call a family loyalty. And there are some of you who are listening to me today who have that same kind of loyalty to Jesus Christ because you were born in a Christian family. I certainly was. And from the time your mama had you upon her knee, she was telling you, "Son, Jesus loves you. Son, Jesus is God's anointed. Son, Jesus is God's king. Son, you need to love Jesus. And son, you need to live for Jesus. Son, the future is with Jesus, and Jesus is God's anointed." There's some mothers here. Have you ever told your kids that? Huh? When they were sitting on your lap, did you tell them that? I know I did as a father. I told all my kids that. Now, many of you who may one day die and go to hell cannot even remember a time when you had not heard about Jesus. I was hearing about Jesus from the time I was a little bitty baby. And I can't even remember a time when I had not heard about Jesus. You've always known about Jesus. You have a loyalty to Jesus. It is a family loyalty, and it runs deep. Your parents are Christians. Your grandparents are Christians, and you've been raised in a Christian home. You have a family loyalty. So next, not only did Joab have a family loyalty, he had what I want to call a fundamental loyalty. That means that he was the counterpart of a fundamentalist. And what I mean by that is he had all of his facts straight. Yeah, he knew all the facts. He could quote them by verse, right? For example, David knew that David was the Savior of Israel. Do you remember the day that David went out and fought Goliath? And do you know what the battle of Goliath was? It was a picture of the time that the Lord Jesus would defeat Satan. Because there was Goliath, and David went out to fight Goliath. And it was a vicarious battle, meaning that it was a battle where one man fought for all of them. And as David won, all Israel won. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus fought the devil and conquered Satan at Calvary. And when he won, we all won in him. And as David was Israel's Savior, so Jesus is the Savior of the world. And Joab knew that he knew that he knew that David was the Savior of Israel. But not only did Joab know that David was the Savior, he knew that David was sovereign. I mean, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that David was meant to be king. And as a matter of fact, Abner tried to set up Ishbosheth, who was Saul's son, to be the king. And Joab knew better than that. And Joab knew that Ishbosheth was not to be king. Joab knew that David was to be the anointed king. And so Joab stood against this. And Joab said that he would fight for David to be the king. And that is, he knew that not only was David the Savior, he knew that David was sovereign. And so next, Joab was also convinced that David was sufficient. He was sufficient. He was the Savior, he was sovereign, and he was sufficient. I mean, he had seen David. He'd seen what David had done. David united the 12 tribes of Israel. David brought in peace. David brought in prosperity. David brought in unity. David was the embodiment of all of Israel's hopes and ideas and dreams. And few men have ever been anything like David. David was a shepherd, a soldier, a king, a prophet, a musician, a poet, a diplomat, an administrator, and David was a hero. Now that's a pretty big combination, isn't it? There are not many men who have been all of that. All of Israel's hopes were wrapped up in this one man, and his name was David. And Joab felt if they had David, then they did not need anybody else. And without David, they had nothing. David was sufficient. And so Joab had a loyalty to David. So he had a family loyalty. It was a fundamental loyalty. He saw David as Israel's Savior. He saw David as Israel's sovereign. And he saw David as Israel's sufficiency. He believed in all of that. He believed all of that. That doesn't sound familiar, does it? Next, Joab had a fighting loyalty. I mean, he was a man who fought for David. He risked his life for David. And if you had come that day and asked this question of the people of Israel, who was David's most courageous and faithful servant? You know, I believe to a man, they would have said without equivocation that it was Joab. Joab would fight for David. It seemed as though Joab would die for David. Yet in spite of this loyalty, in spite of his family loyalty, this family fundamental loyalty, this fighting loyalty, there was a flaw in Joab's life. Joab seemed to have so much, and yet as you examine Joab, he never really and truly gave his heart to David. He admired David, but he never really surrendered his heart to David. He seemed to live for David, but in his heart of hearts, he never surrendered his will to David. Now, I'm talking to some people today on either in this classroom or on this podcast who believe in Christ. I mean, you believe it in your head. But let me tell you something. Satan believes in Christ, too. Satan isn't going into heaven. Right? You have a family loyalty. Not only do you have a family loyalty, you have a fundamental loyalty. I mean, you've been raised in a fundamental church. You believe the facts of the gospel. You got all the doctrine down straight, right? You believe that Jesus is the Savior. You believe that Jesus is sovereign. And you believe that Jesus is sufficient. And yet you're as lost as you can be. There is still something wrong with you. Just as there was something wrong with Joab. And what was that? It was Joab's lack of genuine love for David. And in your case, it's your lack of genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find out that there was never the true mark of Joab's love for David. Now you see, as you examine with me this Bible story that we have before us today, we're going to find out that Joab loved the kingdom, but he didn't love the king. Joab loved the power, but he didn't love the person. Joab loved the glory, but he did not love the glorious one. He did not truly love David. And at the end of his life, this man, who spent all of his life serving David, faced the wrath of David. And some of you in this building today, and some of you listening to my voice on this podcast, who have spent all of your life serving Jesus, are going to die and go to hell. I can't say it any simpler than that. Now, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. Let me show you why Joab never really and truly had the heart of David in his heart. And I'm going to show you three rebellions against David in his life, and you're going to find out how Joab reacted to those three rebellions. And then you're going to find out something of the true character of this man, Joab. And as we go through these three rebellions, I want you to consider your love for Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, in his first rebellion, I want you to notice how Joab never really had the mind of David. In fact, he disdained the mind of David. This first rebellion was led by a man named Abner. Now, I spoke about this rebellion earlier, and I said that Abner tried to set up another king, Ishbosheth, instead of David. But what I want you to see now is that Abner repented of that sin, and he asked David to forgive him. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. So Abner came to David to Hebron, and 20 men with him. And David made Abner and the men that were with him a feast. And Abner said unto David, I will arise and go, and will gather all Israel unto my lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. So we see that David was a man who could forgive his enemies. Abner recognized that what he had done was wrong. He repented of it. And so Abner is now calling David his Lord, and he's calling David his king. And he says, I will rise and go and will gather all Israel unto my Lord the king, that they may make a league with thee, and that thou mayest reign over all that thine heart desireth. And David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. Now, that was the mind of David, to forgive this man who had repented of his rebellion and had asked David for forgiveness. As a result, David sends him away in peace. Oh, but what happened next? What happened next? Let's find out. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died, for the blood of Ashiel his brother. This was Joab's brother, okay? So now David had sent Abner away in peace. David had sent Abner away in forgiveness. But Joab, in treachery, called Abner aside and stabbed him to death. So how did David feel about this? Verses 31 and 32, and David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. So we see that David's heart is broken because Abner was sent away in peace. Abner was someone that David had forgiven. Abner was someone that David had restored. Abner was someone that David loved, and Joab murdered him. Joab did not have the mind of David. He could not understand what David was up to and why David was doing it. He was blind to these kinds of things. Now, there are some of you who think you are saved. But one way that makes it quite evident you're not saved is though you have a loyalty for Jesus, a family loyalty, a fundamental loyalty, and a fighting loyalty, you do not have the mind of Jesus. And it's very obvious in this passage that Joab did not have the mind of David. He did not think as David thought. He had a resentment that was so strong that it caused him to kill someone that David loved and forgave. Now, there's some of you listening to me today who are carrying around resentments just like that. And if those resentments are real and fixed, meaning that you have no intention of letting them go, then don't tell me that you're saved. Don't tell me that you're saved. If you do not have the mind of Christ, if you cannot love those whom Jesus loves, then you are going to die and go to hell. I'm preaching it today, aren't I? I'm laying it on the line. Okay? So, I'm not doing it to be funny. I'm doing it because I love each and every one of you. I want to make sure that you're in heaven with me, because I'm going to be there. You know, I've been a member of Summit Church from the very beginning. There's some of you that are in this room that have been members from the very beginning, right? We've been through quite a lot, haven't we? Yeah. You know, there have been several times when groups of people have gotten unhappy and left the church. Now, can you imagine that? Somebody getting unhappy at church and leaving. That just never happens, does it? Now, these people didn't leave peaceably either. They left angry. They wrote angry letters. I got to read some of those letters that they wrote. Man, oh man, oh man. They could light your hair on fire. All right? They were telling everyone they saw how horrible the church is for one reason or another. And it could have been about the pastor. It could have been about the music. Or that we didn't believe in this particular ritual or this item of faith. Oh my goodness. They just got all kinds of upset and stomped out the door. And they were telling everybody under the sun. Yet I also know that there have been times when some of those people came back to the church and wanted to rejoin it. That grass isn't always greener on the other side of the fence, is it? Now, when they did, there were certain people who said something like that. You know, I think that person is going to rejoin Summit Church. Can you imagine that? After all those things, those bad things they said, they're going to come back and try to rejoin Summit Church. And if they do, I just won't be a part of it. I'm not going to be a part of it. And I thought to myself, well, how sad is that? It doesn't matter what a person has done. It doesn't matter how a person has acted. Abner rebelled against David. He tried to set up another king against David. But David forgave him. And my dear friend, if there is somebody that you cannot and will not forgive, don't talk to me about how you love the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, because you do not have the mind of Christ. Jesus loves those people. And if you cannot, then you do not have the mind of Christ. So we see that Joab disdained the mind of Christ. But now, not only did he disdain the mind of Christ, he distressed the heart of David. So let's look at the second rebellion that was led by Absalom. Now, just like Abner, Absalom rebelled against David and tried to take the kingdom from David. Now, Absalom was a handsome son of David. Absalom was known for his goodly appearance and his long locks of golden hair upon his head. I don't know if it was golden or not. I think it was, but long locks of hair on his head. He was David's son. David loved him, and yet Absalom rebelled against David. And as a result, David and his army were going to war against Absalom. But David had specific instructions on how he wanted them to treat Absalom. All right? 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5 says, "And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. So there was no doubt about it. Everybody knew that David wanted everybody to be gentle with Absalom, how he wanted Absalom to be treated. Absalom was in rebellion. That rebellion needed to be put down. But David said to Joab and to all of the people, deal gently with the young man Absalom for my sake. So the battle begins, and it's going against Absalom. And as a result, Absalom tried to get away from the battlefield. Absalom was riding his mule, and that mule went under an oak tree. And the thick branches of that tree caught Absalom in the hair, and his long flowing hair got caught up in those branches. And chapter 18, verses 9 through 10 of 2 Samuel says, "And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." So that is, the mule rides out from under Absalom, and he was suspended there. He was absolutely and totally helpless. So what does Joab do? Did he follow David's command to be easy with Absalom? Yeah, I don't think so. Let's read in verse 14. "Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak." So the sad thing is that this was not the will of David. David wanted Absalom spared. David said, I know what he's done. I know how he's rebelled against me. But I love him, and I want to show mercy to him, and I want to show grace to him. But you see, Joab did not think as David thought. Joab did not love as David loved. Now let me give you an acid test for your salvation today. I want you to look down deep in your heart and ask yourself, do you have the mind of Jesus, and do you have the heart of Jesus? Do you love those whom Jesus loves? And do you live your life in the way that Jesus has commanded you to do so? The acid test of your salvation is not, have you joined the church? The acid test is not, do you work in the church? It's not, do you know the right doctrine? The acid test is not, do you fight for the faith? The acid test is, do you love Jesus, and thereby love those whom Jesus loves? Now, Absalom was a rebel. So let me ask you, do you love the rebels? Do you love the lost? David did, and Christ does. I want you to look at verse 33 of chapter 18 of 2 Samuel. "And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." So we see here that David's heart was broken at the death of Absalom. Yet look at how Joab reacted to David's grief. In chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, "And it was told Joab, behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son." Well, Joab hears about this, and he's ashamed of how David was acting. In verses 5 and 6, it says, "And Joab came into the house of the king and said, Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well." So I want to tell you that Jesus loves his enemies. Now would you agree with me on that? Jesus loves his enemies. Now, I want to ask you, are you willing to receive those that Jesus has received, like the Abners? If not, then you don't know the mind of Jesus. I want to ask you something else. Are you willing to love those who are yet in rebellion against Jesus? Well, if not, then you don't know the heart of Jesus. And what I mean by this is, do you have a soul winner's heart? Do Do you have a heart of love and compassion for those who do not yet know Jesus Christ? Do you love the lost? Do you love the rebels? Do you love those that the King Jesus loves? And so next we see that Joab disobeyed the will of David. So not only did he disdain the mind of David, not only did he distress the heart of David, he disobeyed the will of David. So here's the third rebellion that I want you to look at. And it was a rebellion against David's choice to appoint Solomon as the next king of Israel. Here we are in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepareth him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Now, I don't know whether Adonijah was, who was another son of David, by the way. I don't know whether he was a Democrat or a Republican. But he was running now. He was campaigning. And he was saying, no, not Solomon. I'm going to be the king over Israel. But notice, if you will, what happens in verse 7. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him. Now, it is clear and plain that God had anointed Solomon to be the next king over Israel. But Joab disobeyed the will of David by helping Adonijah to become the king instead of Solomon. Nathan, God's prophet to David, heard about it and approached Solomon's mother, Bathsheba. And we see in verses 11 through 13 of 1 Kings chapter 1, wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and let thee into the king David. And say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaiden, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign with me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? So here, Adonijah was trying to be king in place of Solomon. But David has said, Solomon, my son, is to be king. But Joab thought he knew better than David, and so he was trying to set up Adonijah as the king of Israel. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Here was a man who was loyal to David, and yet he defied the mind of David. He distressed the heart of David, and he dismissed the will of David. It was David's sovereign will that Solomon would succeed him. Yet Joab chooses to help Adonijah. Now, what does that show me? It shows me that in spite of all of his following of David, that Joab never really fully surrendered his will to David. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you want to know if you're truly saved today, then I want to ask you a question. Is your will surrendered to Jesus Christ? Is he the Lord of your life? Are you living by the teaching, the principles, and the precept of this book that we call the Bible? If not, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So here was a man, Joab, who'd spent all of his life following David, and yet when it came down to the end of his life, David said in 1 Kings 2, 6, do thou therefore according to thy wisdom, let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. So Joab rebelled against the will of David and ended his life facing the wrath of David. So have you rebelled against the will of God? Jesus said in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. I want you to look right up here at me because I want to ask you a few questions. And I pray that they're going to come just like a javelin from the hand of God right into your heart. Are you saved? Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you saved? Do you have the heart of do the will of Christ. Now, I want you to think about those things. Are you saved? You say, well, I'm loyal. I'm here every Sunday. Joab was loyal. So, well, I sacrifice. Well, Joab sacrificed. I serve. Joab certainly served. Well, I believe all the right things. Man, I can quote doctrine right down the path. Well, Joab believed, right? He believed that David was Israel's sovereign, that he was Israel's savior, and that he was Israel's sufficiency. And yet he distressed the heart of David. He disobeyed the will of David, and he disregarded the mind of David. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So it is possible to be loyal but lost, religious but rejected. Many are going to hell surrounded by baptismal certificates, receipts for church offerings, and Sunday school attendance awards. You guys remember Sunday school attendance awards, right? I used to get pins for being 100% for a year going to church, right? And at the end, David handed Joab over for judgment. And at the end, Jesus is going to hand you over for judgment because you have never been saved. Now, I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. If you're saved, praise God, hallelujah, absolutely. I absolutely want you to believe that you are saved, right? I'm not trying to get that. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, let a man examine himself whether he be in the faith. So what I'm doing here today is asking you to examine yourself and ask, are you saved? I mean, are you saved? Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Now, don't come and talk to me about your family, about your loyalty to your family, your fundamental loyalty, your fighting loyalty. Talk to me about your heart. Talk to me about whether or not you've disdained the mind of Christ. Have you distressed the heart of Christ? Have you disobeyed the will of Christ? If yes, then you're going to face the wrath of Christ. Now, please, don't go away. Don't stop listening to this podcast. Don't leave this room without Jesus Christ in your heart. Don't let pride keep you from coming to Jesus. Don't worry about what people are going to think. If you're not absolutely certain that you're saved, it matters not what you have done. It matters not how loyal you've been. It matters not how doctrinally straight you are. It doesn't matter how loyal you've been. If you're not born again, if God's Spirit does not bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, if you're not absolutely saved and sure of it, then you come up here and you talk to me after class, and I'll have a prayer with you, and we'll get things set straight. Amen? Amen. Amen.